Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Podcast. This is very exciting indeed. This is a first time live, I think, on Twitter. I know the boys did this last week, and I wasn't here. It's the first time doing this, and apologies if my audio isn't amazing. First of all, I've not got a microphone today, and secondly, I've got a stinking cold. But hopefully, it sounds okay. So, look, apologies again for the slight delay in this week's podcast. I promise you it's not because we didn't win again, like the accusations after the COV game. It's just the way things are sometimes. But look, we are live today on Twitter, and Jack is throwing up the boys one by one to try and distract me, which he's successfully doing. So, of course, get involved and we can have a chat throughout the course of the episode. Right then, so let's bring in and introduce the boys one by one. I'm going to go straight to Jack, just so when he's here, hopefully he then can continue to not distract me. Goody. Brilliant. He's just kicking and knocked something over.
What have I done? Hold on, mate. Can you add someone else to the stage for a minute? That did not sound good.
No, it didn't. Right, well, Jack fixes something he's just clearly broken, and I'll bring Jordan to the stage, who is currently in a hotel room. And Jordan, I believe you've just had an Indian a takeaway, and it's not perhaps in the normal way. Talk us through what you've just been up to. It's a slightly bizarre start to the episode with Jack kicking something and you eating a curry with what was it?
Well, my bare hands. I mean, right. I'm in a hotel. I feel a bit like Alan Partridge, although I packed my microphone this morning. Ready for the pod, and it's kind of reminiscent of last time. I think I did one in a hotel. I was in Abu Dhabi getting loads of abuse on Twitter.
Yes.
But yeah, I ordered a curry and then I completely forgot that I didn't have any cutlery or a plate, so I had to eat a chicken patty with my bare hands. And I used the naan bread to scoop up a lot of it, and had a little glass of water next to me with a bit of lemon in, so I just kept dipping my hands in, and yeah, fairly clean. And it was quite nice.
Yeah, a bit weird, but is this because you're currently inspired? I know you're a big cricket fan by the England, India cricket, or did you just fancy it?
Not after today's performance, but yeah, I've not had a curry for a while and I was starving. And also, I finished work earlier. And when I'm down in London, I normally go for a few beers and I thought I'll behave myself tonight. I'll spend it on a curry, a lonely curry in my hotel room instead.
Right. We're going to keep things delayed for Jack whilst he fixes whatever he's broken and introduce Mr. Flair. Good evening, Rick. How are we, sir? He's on mute. Well, why can't we hear him? It doesn't say he's on, but I can't hear him. Oh, right.
So far, Jack's broke a table, and Rick, who wasn't on mute before, now somehow he is.
This is why we don't do live podcasts, because, I mean, when you usually hear the podcast, it sounds unedited, but this is actually what happens when you hear the real live thing. Rick, I can see your lips moving, mate, and it doesn't say you're on mute, but we cannot hear you. So while you sort that out, yeah, you go away. Jack's here. Jack, please unmute yourself and let us know what you've just managed to do.
I don't really understand what I've just managed to do, but the
sound is
just fell off. Hold on. Yeah, give me a second. I'll be back.
That's just me and you, George, mate. Well, this is absolutely...
Carnage. You're the best two anyway, mate.
Yeah, right. I say in the meantime, if people wanted to put some comments and some questions in, we can fill time with them. But I think Rick is back. Rick, can we hear you yet? No. Oh, my days. Shall we just pretend this didn't happen and just wait till next week?
Yeah. I don't get it because he wasn't on mute before. And now all of a sudden he is.
And we could hear him earlier. And now we can't. I have absolutely no idea. Yeah, Rick, I know that you can hear us, but we can't hear you, mate. So anyway, Jordan, I suppose we, in the meantime, are going to set up this conversation, this podcast, and hopefully some people are watching. I mean, if there is anybody who is still watching after this carnage of a start, what are we? 5 minutes in, and it's been dreadful. It has. So... Ipswich, I suppose, is the bulk of today's conversation, and then the January transfer window. I won't lie, I'm somewhat distracted by what's going on with Jack and Rick. I'm not sure if anybody else watching and listening can see what's happening. Jack has now popped back. Jack, are you still in
there? Yeah, I don't think I've done any lasting damage. Some like screws have fallen out, so I think it's all right, mate.
He's blaming you. He says that you've bollocksed it up.
Why is he blaming me, though?
Well, you did this thing which we hadn't done before, where you took us all off stage, and
everyone else managed to get back on stage, didn't they?
Well, I'm just saying, before you took him off stage, we could hear him, and now we can't, and now he's gone altogether.
Well,
well,
Jack has two pints of Guinness, and all hell breaks loose.
Do we talk about the football in the meantime? Or...
Can do if you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you talked about Jordan eating his curry with a towel? Yeah, we've done that. Okay, fine.
We've pretty much exhausted the filming segment before the podcast.
We have been going 7 minutes. Yeah.
Which is a remarkable effort. I mean, if you're really desperate, we could talk about Love Island All Stars. I'm sure you've
watched that, have you?
Or Owen Palmer Atkin on Traitors.
See, I saw this.
I don't think he looked. Owen, I know a lot of people have said that, but I don't think he looks like Owen.
I've never seen it. I just saw our tweet.
Steve Potter, for oldish men trying to work computers. Yeah, he's not far wrong. Rick, are you back?
No.
No, he's here.
Right. I've got a bone to pick with you. That's got nothing to do with me.
Well, you... No, because you were playing silly buggers.
No, making
us, you were. Yeah. You kicked us all out so that Jake could invite us in one by one, like blind date.
Which was a disaster.
Anyway. All right, boys.
Hi, Rick.
Jack Holmes on the piss.
Yeah.
It's the only one swigging. Unbelievable. Even I'm not going to be. No, I haven't been very well again.
Have you not? What's up?
Just all sorts, mate. Ailments. But I'm tempted. I might get on the vodka, actually. I got, because all my beers are outside, I might get on the voddy.
I think I'm just largely in denial for what's about to happen.
So. I mean, you're brave. What was if you get the nod and you gotta go?
We got a plan for that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, yeah.
Home birth.
Pretty much, yeah. Just fill up the bath.
Good stuff.
Hot bath and home birth.
Yeah, I mean, for people unawares, Jack, the lady wife is how
I'm
Jewish.
Greg, she... Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's why what? I said the lady wife.
Huh?
That's why I said the lady wife.
Oh, right.
How Jewish is she now?
I think due date is Saturday, so yeah, well, I think so, it is Saturday. Yeah. So yeah,
I feel like
I think it'd be fair to say I've noticed Jack is a lot more tense than usual.
Mm. Yeah, even Monique said I'm highly strung. I was like,
have you ever met yourself?
Well, no, clearly not, Jake.
Yes, but I think Jack, it is fair to say that we can tell the due date is getting
like any more than usual, like beyond normal levels. Okay, yeah. Fine.
I mean, in the nicest possible way.
Well, yeah, no, but it's fine.
You chilled out to me, pal.
Right. So what did you do last week? Did you ask people to throw in discussion points and topics, or yeah, did you do a normal podcast? Because I missed last week. So Jack, talk us through kind of how you'd want this to work.
People threw in lots of comments. That was nice. That was good. We did have a bit of structure. No more than usual.
I was going to say, no more than this either.
Yeah.
This is
bit of chat about games and stuff like that. We played Where Did You Come From, Where Did You Go, and it was terrible again.
Yeah, I haven't listened back, but I've read that it was equally as bad as the first week.
Probably worse, actually.
Right. How?
It were me again, making a pig's ear of it.
Yeah, like Rick didn't wait and then just blurted out the answer. So
we did that the first time. He told us Keith Gillespie before he... No, who was it? Elvis Hammond. Yeah, you told
problem me. Is when you know the answer to everything, it's very difficult, isn't it? To keep still.
Mug is that.
Yeah, right. Okay, then. Well, look, questions, topics, throw them in. And just out of curiosity...
If there is someone with a question, can they tell me why Marzipan Dildo is trending on Twitter?
Yes,
I daren't click on it. So if someone can let me know, that would be great.
Yeah, well, just don't do it on the Big John Leicester Boys account, please.
Exactly. It'll
be guilty by association. Yeah.
So Leicester, Vince McMahon, Protect Taylor Swift and Marzipan Dildo are trending.
Interesting. I remember many years ago when Twitter first started, and you know when you like people wanted to have lots of Twitter followers? You know, I was a new... Well, no, I'm thinking, you know, when I qualified as a journalist, you know, you want to have loads of followers on Twitter. I honestly thought if I just tweeted every day, every single hashtag which was trending, that would get me more followers. But believe it or not, it doesn't work like that at all. But anyway, where did you come from? Where did you go? Who's in charge today? Because we haven't discussed this at all in the WhatsApp group.
No. Well, yeah, it's not me, because I did it last week.
Right.
I mean, I think it's got to be Rick, hasn't it?
Can I just say Rick looks like he's on Guantanamo Bay? Wearing
I feel like it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the M for me. Yeah, sorry about my appearance, actually. I realise I put this morning when feeling very, very unwell, and I've stayed in it. I've even been on Radio Leicester tonight with Owen and Steve Howard looking like this, so God knows what big Stevie Howard made of me. Well, I mean, I did do the first one.
Yeah, would you mind?
Well, this will be fun, won't it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
He's had a curry with his hands, and then he's now been in charge of doing Cotton Eye Joe.
Rick looks like Michael Scofield from Prison Break. From Wayne Holland.
My favourite of all the Schofields. I actually went to see Philip Schofield when he played Joseph in Technicolor Dreamcoat at the Palladium.
Did you get invited backstage?
Well, no, I was only seven. But yeah, he was standing in for Jason Donovan, which, yeah. First time I ever heard the word cunt that day. Heard a tramp with one eye call someone for not giving him any money. Yeah, honestly, never forget it.
Apologies to anyone who dislikes that word.
But yeah, sorry, it's for just first storytelling purposes.
Well, no, that's the first time that word's ever appeared on the podcast.
No, it's not. Jordan said it a number of times.
It has appeared on there, but I spent a very long time bleeping one out for someone. Because they said that probably wouldn't be very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, in my defence, I've only said it because somebody else said it, and I was seven years old, which makes it pretty bad, doesn't it? So
I don't know whether it's
not my words, Lynn. Words of Top Gear magazine.
I don't know whether it's coincidental, but we just lost eight listeners.
Yes. Fault entirely, but anyway, should we talk about Ipswich? Probably should. It's now 15 minutes into the podcast, and there's been absolutely zero football chat whatsoever. Not that that personally bothers me, but I suspect that others might want us to talk about it at one point or another. Who wants to kind of pick that bit up and run? Anyone? Strong thoughts?
Jordan, opinions? You've got a good view on the game, Jordan, haven't you?
Well, I'd like to think so. Yeah, I thought that was...
was meant genuinely,
yeah,
by the way.
I think for 70, 75 minutes, we were by far the better team. By far. And the same at Portman Road, I think. The real frustrating thing against them is they've nicked 2 points off us, and it's kind of our own doing. The only complaint I've got, which Rick harped on about before, is that we just don't kill teams off. But I think if you look at that opening 70, 75 minutes, we were... I arguably think that's one of the best we've played all season. The pressing from the front was fantastic. The tempo was so high. I know our goal was an own goal, but it was... I think it was 42 passes I read. And the give and go, Mavididi and Pereira, was just quality. And I thought, in terms of the whole game, it was a Premier League affair. I actually don't think a huge deal to Ipswich, but one thing I will say is... they stay in games, and they've obviously got a lot of momentum from coming up and a lot of belief. And we've seen that twice, unfortunately. And to compete with three teams that have come down from the Prem, I think they deserve a lot of credit, to be fair to them. But look, I know a lot's been made of that we conceded late again. And I saw Sam's tweet, which you know, you can't get away from it. But what I will say is, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday game, again, it was kind of a... to lump into the box, and we didn't deal with it. We had a chance to win it after that with Yannick. I think the Middlesbrough goal, you just can't do anything about those. And the two Ipswich ones, yeah, they're frustrating. And obviously West Brom, but we won that game. But what my point originally was in the WhatsApp group, which Rick mentioned, and I wanted to say it tonight, but we've dropped 10 points in the last 10 games, I think was the tweet. That would have put us on 76 points, and it's not even the end of January. And, I mean, we'd have probably won 25, 26 out of 28. I mean, we have to have some realism. You can't win every game. If the standards that Enzo and the team have set, that we expect to win 26 out of 28 games, then that's just delusional. I think that's delusional, personally. You know, we've won, is it 21 games? Drew 3 and lost 4. That's an astonishing record, and we're probably going to, and hopefully I think we will go on to win the league and possibly be the best team that the division's ever seen. And we have to put it into context. You know, the team is still, what, 4 or 5 months old? And it is going to happen. Again, the only thing I'd say is we've got to finish our chances. And I did feel a bit sorry for the manager, because obviously we know Wilf's been injured. Dakar's already coming back from the AFCON now. Cassaday went back, which was kind of unexpected, and their subs made a difference, and ours unfortunately didn't. But on again another day, we win that 1-0. And I just think, look, we play Birmingham, we beat them, and then get another bit of a run. But I don't think we can't get hung up on these late goals that we concede in, because that and set pieces are a concern. But the evidence suggests, out of the 28 games, that more often than not, we will win. And that's what I mean. I just urge for a bit of realism. I think, you know, it's not Football Manager, it's not FIFA. You can't steamroll every single game. And we'll be up by April, the way it's going, March or April. So stay positive.
Jordan, first of all, I've got a couple of things to come back at you with. First of all, have you ever predicted Leicester not to win?
Yeah, quite a few times.
Have you ever said that Leicester won't be fine? but on a serious point, in terms of what you said, I genuinely do agree with lots of what you said. And as you boys well know, I don't contribute to a huge amount of the debates within the WhatsApp group, but I did read and see lots of what you were both saying kind of post-Ipswich. I think for me, though, Jordan, it's kind of more the manner of how we've lost, say, the Coventry and the two games against Ipswich, which I think we do retain some kind of control over. I know you're saying that you can't win every game, which of course is true. But when three games kind of pan out similar ways, and you feel that the manager has to learn from them, you know, the substitutions, the way that then the team sees out a game when it's leading, that is not say on the manager, but I feel that those games and those results could have been different. You know, you talk about, say, for instance, the Sheffield Wednesday game, it was a poor performance. The Middlesbrough game, you know, we had chances and they score a really good goal. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes there isn't anything you can do about it. You've got to hold your, praise the other team for playing well. But I think that with the two Ipswich games, if they'd been managed differently, we would have won them. And with the Coventry game, perhaps as well, it was kind of a little bit of a concerning collapse. So it's more the trend of those three games that I think that there probably is cause for concern there.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There is a worrying sign, and same with set pieces. I think we had six players from last season in the team on Monday. I don't want to pin a blame on Winks, but Winks is a very experienced player. Ricardo is obviously an experienced player. So it is worrying. What I would say with the Ipswich one is, if a team's 1-0 down at home anyway, they're going to fly forward. They're going to push the fullbacks forward and rain crosses in, and you are going to come under pressure. The Cov one, we had 10 men, so I'm not worried about that. And to be honest, I had a bit of a moan after the Ipswich game, but it wasn't about the result or the performance. It was about the fans. And, you know, the game got away from us when they made the subs in the last 15 minutes because we lost control, because it became like a bit of a basketball game. That isn't our game plan. Hermanson started kicking it long. The centre-back started kicking it long. And it stemmed from people in the crowd not necessarily booing, but whistling, getting nervous. Just trust the players. And the other thing is, if you're 1-0 up in the biggest home game of the season, why are you leaving in the 85th minute? I can understand if you're 5-0 up or 5-0 down, but when it's 1-0 against the title challengers and you're going home to beat the traffic, well, go and watch the fucking Tigers, because I think it's pathetic. You cannot have a go at the team for not giving it their all.
Do they leave early at the Tigers?
Or
you just make this is an 80-minute game?
Exactly, mate. The penny's dropped. But, I mean, I think that's shocking. I think it's absolutely shocking. And don't get me wrong, I'm bad, because I say we shouldn't be in this league and we shouldn't. But you still stay and support the team. And, you know, I've missed my fair share of goals getting a pint at half
time.
Well,
I was going to say, Joe, what are your thoughts on people going for a pint on 38 minutes?
That's okay. What's the point in leaving? You wouldn't leave the cinema without knowing the end of the film, would you?
Depends what film.
Yeah.
If you knew the ending's likely to be shit, i.e. you knew you were going to concede one in the 90th minute, I'd fuck off, yeah?
No other sport would you leave early. No other entertainment industry, would you leave early? And I can understand if the result is done, but it
wasn't. You're right. You're right.
And it's also, it's not the first, they're not the first club that's leveled it at our fans either. And yeah, we should be entitled because we shouldn't be in this league. We're, you know, where we were last season. Sorry, the season before. But for fuck's sake, come on. Turn it into a tough place to go. And when they equalise in the last minute, you can't really whinge if you're halfway to the car, can you?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rick?
Yeah, I find it very difficult to disagree with anything you've said there, George. I am guilty of being very frustrated when things have gone against us this season, either our own doing or you know, subjectively not our own doing. But yeah, you can't deny that we are the strongest team in the league over 28 games. You can't expect us to effectively win all 28 games, but that doesn't stop you from critiquing the times when we don't win and looking at possibilities that we could have prevented. And they're repeat offences, aren't they? Late goals, set pieces. So I don't know whether there's a mentality issue there. If, you know, if we're dropping off fatigue, you know, we're not pressing. At the end of the day, if you're not going to put teams to bed, which again, you're not always going to do, you're not always going to be 2-0 up, 3-0 up. So if you are only 1-0 up, which sometimes is a very fortunate position to be in, but we are getting to those positions and then conceding in the last minute, then what's changing from the 80 minutes beforehand to the final 10 where we're conceding? Well, the way I look at it, we're dropping off. Like you say, Jill, we're going long. We're not retaining the ball. That's either through anxiety or they're knackered. You know, something is changing. So if we can't put teams to bed, we've got to maintain the same standards and control of games. If he's got to make subs earlier, if he's got to trust his squad more, he trusted his squad when he'd barely been in charge. You know, he was bringing off Ndidi after 55 minutes, putting on fringe players. He's no longer doing that. Why? Don't know. But, you know, we're back at the start of the season, we were wearing teams down and we were the ones scoring in the last minute.
Is that?
We're now not doing that.
Is that, sorry, George, that stat you said, we made the third least subs in the league. Is that right?
Yeah, only Kov and I can't remember who else have made fewer. And Ipswich really and West Brom have made the most.
See, this was what I was just about to pick up on, Jack, because we spoke about this kind of, well, I mentioned it post the Rotherham home game.
Yeah, you did, to be fair, yeah.
Said it then. Is that, in my opinion, right, we have got two 11s capable of getting promoted from this division, whether say you'd win it or not, but two 11s capable of getting promoted from this league. But for some reason or another, Enzo has stopped trusting certain players and he's not making subs. And I feel that also you can see now that those subs who are coming on or those players who are on the fringe know that he doesn't trust them. And, you know, the fact that he didn't play them in that home game against Rotherham at the time, I flagged it. I said, this is a little bit concerning. Why would you not play them? And you're now seeing, you know, Cassaday go back for one reason or another. I don't think we fully know the story, but whether it was an hour decision, a Chelsea decision, a player decision, or a little bit of everything. And we're now seeing players coming on pretty late. And the result or the game not going the way that we want it. And it's Jack a little bit of a concern, because I said that the players that they're on the bench are more than capable and more than competent. They're better than the players, in my opinion, than what, say, for instance, Ipswich, etc., are bringing on. So I don't know. I can't understand at what point Enzo's mindset or opinion on these fringe players has changed, because that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, interesting that you rate them that highly. I think some are decent, and I don't rate some of them. I think he, on Monday or whatever, he should have brought Albrighton on earlier. I completely agree with that point, because McAteer's got cramp and he stopped running. He was playing right back for the last 10 minutes just because he couldn't run. And his game is so much about energy and running. I mean, that's what he's best at. So I think we could have made that sub earlier. The big thing for me, I think, is Ricardo and Dewsbury Hall, I thought, got really tired on Monday. And I think what was brilliant about it was so intense the first half. And for a lot of this season, I mean, Rick shares the same opinion as me, our pressing's been crap. But actually, on Monday, I thought our pressing was brilliant. Like, we were right in their faces. Ipswich genuinely didn't know what to do in the first half. But I think we ran out of steam. I think half the problem is, because we've put so many sides away and made it look so easy, I think then when we're in a tight game, it's a bit like, oh, we're not used to this. But yeah, I completely agree. I think be interesting. If we do sign Sensi, it will be interesting to see what actually happens then in terms of subs, because indeed he said he's 2 weeks away from being fit, which is fucking fantastic news, because I thought he was going to be out for ages. And you know, you look at our record with Ndidi in the side and you look at the record without him, it's very different. But I think you bring Sensi into that, who, you know, I mean, I'm basing this off what Rick said, which is not good judgment. But I mean, he looks fantastic. I've actually, to be fair, I've got a mate who's an Inter fan and he says if you can keep him fit, he's a brilliant player. I think that brings a different dynamic into that, apart from, you know, him and Yunus are about 5'2" collectively between them, which I think is a bit of a challenge for us. That gives us a bit more energy there. I think wingers, he hasn't really changed enough. Winks, he doesn't really change enough. I think when Daka comes back, I think Daka and Cannon, you've got genuine options there. Vardy can't press anymore. Iheanacho came on against Ipswich and didn't do anything when he came on as well. So yeah, I don't think he trusts enough of the players. He doesn't want to change the back three. Interestingly, though, when he has changed the back three with, you know, a few minutes ago, he brought Suter on against Birmingham and we saw the game out. He's just not done that sort of thing recently. He doesn't want to change anything.
But that's on him, isn't it? So
He
trusted them at the start of the season when he didn't know anything about them.
He doesn't,
and they didn't let him down
as much now. I don't quite know why he doesn't trust Doyle anymore. He's got to get fit again, but he doesn't. Yeah, you're right. I don't think he trusts his squad. That's
yeah.
Whether he's trying to prove it, I mean, I don't really believe he's trying to prove a point to the board. Although he did go off in apparently his post match about how he didn't have any options. But it is a bit weird.
Yeah, I mean the stick that we get hit at or from by other championship clubs is, of course, you know, the huge squad and you know, resources at Enzo's disposal. So it's kind of almost, you really struggle, and I struggle to accept that he hasn't got options or he doesn't trust the squad in which he's got. And you know, should we really, Jack, find ourselves in a situation where, you know, if you, I know it's maybe an extreme take because I think we'd get promoted anyway, probably. But should we really be in a position here where we need to sign a player from Inter Milan to give ourselves kind of better options, you know, to make sure we get promoted from the Championship? Do you know what I mean? It seems you look at the resources that other clubs are working with, and we're signing players from Inter Milan. You know?
I couldn't give a toss about other clubs. Maybe he should. However, I do I do think there's a bit of the style of football we play. You need good players to play it. Like, I think he signed Sensi because if, you know, Ndidi and KDH have been brilliant this season, but the one bit I would probably criticise them for is sometimes their quality in the final third isn't quite where we'd want it to be. And I think, you know, a player of, I mean, they signed him for what, 21 million less than 3 years ago, and he would have been in the Italy Euro squad. So, and he's only 27. So yeah, I think it's fair cop, but I mean, you could level that at any top manager, couldn't you? Klopp, Guardiola, like whoever. I'm not putting Maresca in the same ballpark as them, like far from it at this stage. But I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question. I think it's a fair criticism. I think other clubs will probably have a pot, but I would say I think we need it if we're going to play this style of football and see it out through to the end of the season.
Rick, January transfer window then, because I mean, this Sensi deal, we've been mentioned actually, to be honest, most of the season, haven't we, that beyond, you know, KDH and indeed we didn't really know and trust, you know, who could possibly replace. And I suppose that has kind of been proven in point exactly, hasn't it, that Castillo has gone back and, you know, we've struggled when one of those two hasn't played and then Sensi coming in. I mean, do you see any other movement apart from Sensi? Do you think we need anything else?
Well, Enzo says he ideally wants two central midfielders. He wanted Sensi prior to Castillo going back. And he said after the Ipswich game, ideally get that one across the line and then hope to get another one. But I think he was perhaps being a bit tongue-in-cheek there. But we need at least one. I know you're just saying about, you know, should we utilise our squad better? Well, yeah, we should. But I think central midfield, we are definitely light. You know, Pratt, we might as well forget about him. Like, he's supposedly fit at the minute, but again, he's not using him. He's probably one that I think you could say fair enough to Enzo. He no longer trusts him because he doesn't stay available. Sensi has got his injury problems, but he didn't get injured last season when he was on loan at Monza. So hopefully we get him in and we can keep him fit. Interestingly, there's a chap called Dom Wells. He posts on Twitter, very knowledgeable on sort of tactics and analysis. He's written an article about Sensi on loan last season, and we were under the impression he'd perhaps come in and probably be the understudy to Winks or play one of the eight roles. Sounding like it, he's not really a six. He can play that role, but it's not his strong point. He would be an eight. So that's fine. You know, I think that's where we are weak, but easing the burden on Winks. Maybe Maresca's got ideas for somebody else to either play that role or the inverted fullback. You know, that Trihume from Sunderland we were linked with at the start of the window. And O'Hare again, not that he plays that role, but how fucking funny would it be if we managed to get O'Hare? I mean, he's actually quite a good player. I'd like him not just for winding up them lot down the road, but yeah, that'd be beautiful.
another one, then Jordan. In terms of then the options and kind of going forward, you know, let's not get away from the fact that there was no Fatawu available for this game, and you know, we've had conversations around Casey McAteer. You know, I still remain unconvinced, I feel pretty confident in saying that I don't think he can step up to the Premier League. I think he's probably a decent Championship player. We know Albrighton's not going to be here beyond the end of the season. Yunus hasn't really, you know, established himself. I'm still not even sure which one his best position is. But kind of then, do we need another winger as well? Because, yeah, once Fatawu has now dropped out, you look at the other options. And at the start of the season, I thought we kind of were spoilt in them areas. But now I'm kind of less convinced.
Yeah, I actually didn't mention Fatawu when I said that we had players to return. So, I mean, him and Mabadidi either side is just absolutely lethal, isn't it? And Mabadidi's been terrific recently. I don't know. Casey's 22. I thought he did okay. But there was a time in the first half where I think Fez played an unbelievable diagonal ball. And to be fair to Casey, it was a great first touch. But once he got in that position, Fatu would drive into the box. Casey came backwards or sideways. And, you know, when you compare the two, I mean, Casey's two, three years older than him. So I agree with you, Jake. I'm a bit concerned whether he'd make the step up. I'm also starting to get very concerned about Yunus. And I'm a big fan. And when he came on, again, he tried to slide McAteer in. He had Vardy to the left. And I actually thought he should have shot. Because the two defenders were backing off, trying to cover the space. And I think he was so, you know, he's out of confidence. He's out in and out
of
the
team. I'm not having him.
So this is why I'm getting worried, Jack, because he's clearly got a lot of technical ability, but he's not really kicked
He's not quick enough or strong enough for me. Like, he's nice, tidy footballer, decent touch. I can't see him adjusting to the English game. I've got nothing against him, but I think every time he's come on, he looks absolutely desperate to do a good job as well, which I think we give him credit for, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little worried, and I don't think we need another winger. I mean, we should probably focus on getting Fatu done first before we worry about getting anyone else.
And then, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, like, come on, you can never have too many of them.
Rick Flair, why are you a winger? I've never seen anything like this.
But I fell off my chair though when you said you fancied another one earlier in the WhatsApp group.
I've had a very tough week, Rick. I needed to imagine, you know, a nice, happy place, which
you
is
did, mate.
City with hundreds of wingers.
But Mavadidi plays too much, and he's, you know, he's playing brilliantly. But I do think, yeah, Atgun's not been, he's been quickly moved inside from being the challenger to Fatu on the right, and McAteer's actually his challenger. But who does challenge Mavadidi? Nobody. I can't remember the last time we played somebody on the left instead of Mavadidi.
Wanyama Marcel in the cup.
Oh, in the cup. Yeah, fair point. Yeah. But would he trust him in the league? No. I don't think so. He's not bringing him on with 10, 15 minutes to go. So if he could find... I mean, it'd be nice if we could move Ian Acho on this window and get some money for him. We don't necessarily go out and buy another striker this month, but maybe then you look at you know, a versatile forward, somebody who can come in off the left. But we need to get our strikers involved more. Cannon's done really well since he's come in.
He loves no head kick, Cannon, by the way.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah. But he's been far more involved, I think, in the... I know they were against weaker opposition, but the Huddersfield and Millwall, he was very involved. Gun sort of at the tip of.
I'm nothing to do with that before he starts lobbing shit at me.
Have I been locked out here?
Nothing to do with me.
You went in and out.
Did I? But yeah, I think Cannon. We need to get our striker involved more. And how we do that, whether it's a different type of midfielder or waiting. Well, yeah, wingers not so much. But yeah, I just feel like we're not utilising him as much.
To be fair, Cannon. I thought he was quite involved against Ipswich. I mean, we said after the game, he loves it. He can strike a ball.
He can, but I just feel like he should be involved a lot more because he's very dynamic as a forward. He's not.
He was involved in the first goal as well. He went wide and took the ball.
Maybe I'm being harsh, but I just think there's more to his game. We need another midfielder that either supports the attack to feed the space that he then drops out, or feed him. He's not been in one-on-one much. That's what I mainly mean. Like he looks like he's a good spring the offside trap and he's a great finisher. Since the goal he got, his second goal at Huddersfield and then the long ball from Dore, I've not seen him get in yet. So that's what I mean.
I'm a big fan of Cannon. He looks like a really smart signing to me. He looks like a proper striker, and he's so good. I know you mentioned it, Jack, after the Ipswich game. He's so good at shifting it and getting half a yard away and getting a really clean strike. I don't think I've actually seen him really fluff one yet.
He's like the antidote to Mavadidi's scuffers, isn't he?
Everything he hits seems to be so clean. But that said, I'd bring Daka back in because...
Would you? That's on the basis, shout that.
It was probably against weaker opposition. But that 3 or 4 game spell when Daka was in the side, I thought we looked absolutely frightening.
It's probably our best spell, isn't it? I think that's...
And I'd like to see that again.
Well, I think it's just having the option of one or the other. Do you know
what
I mean?
That's a high quality problem, isn't it?
Yeah, no, but do you know what I mean? I think Cannon's done great, and as did Dakar. But do you know what I mean? If for whatever reason it's not working that day for Cannon to bring on Dakar, but do you know what I mean? Because sometimes it just doesn't happen for whatever reason on that day. You know, they say Cannon hasn't played badly, but hasn't really looked like scoring. But you know, if you've just been able to bring Dakar on in them situations. I know, obviously, it's hindsight. And again, you know, going back to my original point, we shouldn't really need to bring on, you know, a player of his quality to be able to see out a game in the Championship. But I don't know. I think we have actually missed Dakar quite a lot, haven't we?
I've missed him personally. But
yeah. No,
I worry about what he does when Dakar comes back and what he does with Vardy. Because his comments after the Ipswich game or before or after, I do think Vardy being fit poses a problem to him. I don't see him leaving him on the bench game after game. And he'll never play two up front. So Vardy may no longer start games and he may now be his go-to sub. But that means that Dakar or Cannon are not going to be playing that much. And then don't know what on earth he does with Iheanacho. I presume he'll be the one that won't even get on the bench.
Sell him, I think. Yeah, you have to sell him.
But we've got a week left to sell him.
I know, well, I just think you have to, don't you?
But Vardy could be that, he could actually be the issue. It's been convenient him not being around. And Dakar got in and started scoring. And then Dakar went, Cannon came in and started scoring. And you now have that problem, what you do with Vardy. Now, I might be being highly unfair. And Vardy is, we've written him off numerous times. You can't still write him off even now. I know he can't press, but he still may come in and bag, so that's fine. But right now those two are the standout forwards that have got to play either or, and Vardy is third choice, if that.
Agreed. Yeah, agree wholeheartedly.
Beans and little sausages.
All of us, that's a very rare thing, all four universally agreeing. 44 minutes in, Jordan, have you got a where did he come from, where did he go?
I have.
Should we do that now?
I suppose we better cue the music.
Okay, do that.
Can we agree the terms and conditions?
There is a lot of pressure on this game because I think people are really fucked off with this. And I'm not just talking about us four. I think our listeners are at the end of their tether. If it doesn't go well tonight, I think we have to agree to scrap it.
Okay.
Big claim.
Well, I'm just giving the people what they want, mate.
Am I playing the music? You, Jack.
Well, sorry. I can have a go if you want.
He's turned up and gobbing off.
He looked like he was about to play.
What? But I've been forgotten,
I Joe. I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Okay.
You've got to remember, Jack, that I'm in charge.
The production values on this game.
That's the best thing you've ever done. By the way, we've just said we're going to play this game, and we've lost 13 viewers. So I think that speaks volume.
Yeah,
that's even more than the foul and obscene language.
Yeah, exactly.
So how exactly does this game work?
That's what I was going to ask.
Well, I've always thought it's you say the player, and then you have to go Rick or whoever, and you guess the club there and the club you signed from, the club you told them to.
That sounds awfully simple. So yeah,
but I thought they were the rules. But
I was going to suggest like a very easy, gentle clue just to guess the player.
Well, that's what I did last week, and then it went very wrong because everyone got confused.
And as I'm in charge, that's what I'm going to do.
Right, okay, fine.
Did we confirm whether it was loan or permanent?
Permanent moves.
And one more thing to confirm. Are we all writing down our answers and then revealing them, or is it first person to put their hand up?
I think you just go in order.
Well, yeah, but if someone guesses it, then you say, that's right, then...
No, but I could just keep stum.
Nah, let's write them down.
Write them down. Okay. Yeah, I like that.
In that allotted time, it took me ages to do. you know.
Yeah. Right, game on.
So you're saying the player?
Game on. Yeah.
Go on then.
So I thought you were going to give us a little gentle clue.
A gentle clue for this player who was born on the 10th of July, 1981. So he's 42.
I know who it is.
Go on then.
Alexander Tunchev.
How do you know his birthday?
Because that's my birthday.
Also,
what's your birthday? The same.
Hold on.
81.
No, 83, but I know his birthday. I know it's the same day.
George, have you got another one, mate?
And I tell you, do you want me to give you? I'll write it down where he signed it from.
I thought you were tired.
No.
This happened last week, Jake. He just went off like a horse out the gate.
I'm writing it down.
Honestly, I'm not very well.
Neither's Rick.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, you might know where he was from, but I think he was.
Hold on, we've got people guessing. We've just got people.
They're just laughing.
Just laughing at us.
People can guess, because last week, did Liam get it last week?
Was he not? Well, can I still guess where you signed from?
Can I just play the music again?
No.
You can guess where he was signed from. I think you're going to struggle where he went, though.
I know where we signed him from.
Was it? Can I guess it, or do you want me to write it down?
You said write it down about 2 minutes ago, I think.
Right. Oh, but yeah. So where did he get? Did he not get released?
Well, about to find out, aren't we?
Right. Okay. Well, I've got I've got the guess.
Beans and little sausages.
Go on. Let's have a look.
Are we not supposed to be guessing during the music?
Do we play the music again?
No. Steve's going to stop watching if we turn if we hear the music again.
Just let us know if you want us to play the music again. Just get your comments in if you want.
I can't see that, Jake.
I think someone's got it.
Why are you holding your phone like that?
Where's my camera?
So
I've only got who we signed him from.
I mean, Jake.
Oh.
Jake's spelling there is horrible, but it is.
Well, no, that's clearly spell check, isn't it?
Or is there? Oh no, that's not Sophia, is it?
That's not a bad shout. Where we sold him to?
Was it not
Palace?
See, someone wants me to play the song again.
No. Why can't I hold this fucking camera?
Don't know, mate. You're struggling
more than one. There's quite a lot of music.
Come on, get it on.
You have one more time.
Cat Nacho, I've been married a long time ago. Where did you come from? Where did you come from, Cat Nacho?
So Jake has got the first bit.
I know what.
He did go on loan to Crystal Palace, but that is not the game.
Interesting. Yeah.
You said, where did he come from? Where did he go? If you went to Crystal Palace, then...
No, he's right. It's got to be Perm.
Fuck off.
We are getting more requests about...
Did he go back to Sofia?
No.
Bait Borisov.
I haven't got this. I wrote down Legia Warsaw, and that's as far as I got. So,
Is it an English club?
They're not English.
Right.
They've got a great nickname. Well, I say a great nickname. I wouldn't fancy supporting them with that nickname.
Well, I don't know. Any ideas? What are we going to reveal? I think someone's guessed in the comments, but I feel like nobody knew that. Yeah.
Bit of music helps.
It probably doesn't.
Are we all out?
I don't know.
Just out of curiosity, Jack, are you deeming this so far a success? And he's on mute.
Do you want me to do one?
Well, we're not,
Jack, we're still on mute.
The final whistle has got it.
Yeah, I'm on mute.
Has he? Oh, Anorak.
Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, I'm going to say that.
No, you weren't.
No, of course I wasn't. I'm not. No. I didn't even know there's a limitation to my knowledge.
Yeah.
I think the real quiz, though, was get knowing who it was within milliseconds of the date of birth. That is, like, flawless.
Oh, that's not the real quiz.
It's weird. Rick, do you want to do one? Why the hell not?
Yeah, shall I?
Do you want to do a Who Are You? Just...
Yeah, just do whatever. I don't care anymore.
Should we do a Who Are You?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me find the theme tune.
This what, am I doing it? Yeah, let's do a Who Are You and then...
Oh, no, sorry, that's the wrong one.
This might be the last one.
Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Hot has changed his tune, hasn't he?
I need to go and farm one though, don't I?
I do think Where Do You Come From, Where Do You Go has got legs.
The thing is, we've had five extra listeners since I played that music. So.
Algorithms.
Right. Who's doing this?
Who's doing it?
Don't know.
You want me to? Okay, well, you got. Well, no, I was going to do a bloody Cotton Eye Joe because they're a bit easy to come up with off the top of your head. I've now got to find some clues.
Right.
Well, or do you want to do it? You Google someone now.
Who are you saying you?
You, Jack.
You.
Yes, please, Pat.
Right, okay.
I don't know if Steve thinks. Where Did You Come From, Where Did You Go is a good game. He's changed his tune, if so.
I don't think he did. I think he's really happy now that his spreadsheet's out. He's gone and got it out, file of facts.
I think if you were about to build that as a make or break game of Where Did You Come From, Where Did You Go.
I'm pretty sure we've not had this lab before. So there's your first clue. Okay.
Well then.
Any guesses? I just gave you a clue.
Oh.
We've never had it.
Yeah, we've never had it before.
Cold Court.
No, incorrect.
I'm out.
Okay. David Norris.
Oh, forgotten about him.
No, he was Plymouth. He never played for us.
Well, exactly. That was what he said.
Right, okay. That's what I guess.
We basically did, but we didn't.
Jordan, this one's from your era. This is like peak Jord. Hold on.
It's a valid
one. What's crap? The podcast?
I don't know. Give the people what they want and then you come back to this. Okay. Let's
Ryan McGibbon.
He was born on the 25th of June, 1976.
Can somebody do the maths for me? I'm tired. Yeah.
47 years old.
Pontus Cormac.
Incorrect. Right ballpark, though.
I've got nothing.
You've seen his Instagram account? Pontus Gyms. Yeah, he's
calling
it. Is he? Into his gyms.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he gets to the gym, not drinking.
Bollocks, then.
Yeah.
No, go on, next clue.
Now, this is an interesting... Began career and ended career at the same club.
Ooh.
And also managed them once. That club is St Johnstone.
Love that. Tommy Callum Wright. Davison.
You just say, Rick?
Callum Davison. He's back!
Where did you come from? Where did you go? Where did you come from?
That is a joke.
That is correct. I have no idea how you managed to get that. I thought that was the hardest clue.
It's a great clue.
It's a good clue.
Really good clue. I'm in my element back with this game. I'm back, lads.
Do you know what, Jake?
What?
Tommy Wright did play for St. Johnston.
He did he?
And I used to work with Tommy Wright.
He wasn't he?
At Chesterfield, and he was one of the nicest blokes.
Mm. Really, and he was bad at play. But we were wrong.
Yeah, again.
Tommy Wright played for St. Johnston.
Did he? I think he did.
Yeah. 5 games.
There we are.
What about Lee Cox? Tommy Wright is now a police officer, isn't he?
Which one?
Yeah, there's two.
Well, the one of my era, not your era.
The OGA, the Wing Wizard.
No, my era, not your era.
Oh, you're... Sorry, yeah. Is it the one who scored against Forrest?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought he played for Aberdeen. Was it some... Okay.
I think what we could do is incorporate where did you come from, where did you go, into who are you?
Ooh, an interesting angle.
Not that we've made it one point.
Oh, okay, no, we can play that now, Jord. Okay.
St. Johnson and St. Johnson.
No, where did we... No. Go on, Rick.
Dying from Blackburn. Yeah. Blackburn.
Yeah. No, you're incorrect. That's not...
And also, Rick's doing it again. It's not taking...
Well, yeah, but I feel like if you get it...
Yeah.
So he's not got the second one. So I'm going to offer up, where did we sell him to?
Rick was definitely the kid. Jordan. When it was past the parcel that used to hold on to it when where did you come from? Where did you go with
it? Was it not Preston?
Correct, Jake.
Yes!
Well done, mate.
Superb. Preston. Interesting. Yeah. He played 166 games for Preston, scoring 21 goals. He played 66 for Blackburn, scoring one goal, 101 games for Leicester, 2 goals. So, yeah, he scored a lot of goals for Preston randomly. Mm-hmm. Remember he played in midfield for us under Mickey Adams, which was a bit random because he was a left back. But he was also a bloody
inverted
good golfer.
Fullback.
He was a bloody good golfer.
Good golfer, is he?
Yeah, he played off scratch. Yeah.
Mickey Adams is way ahead of his time.
You are correct. We did sell him to Preston. Yeah. There we go.
Millpois for myself again.
Just business as usual for me. Thank you. 2024.
That was this. I'm not sure if it was good or bad.
Are we just going back to who are you? Because I don't think that game worked.
I think it, start with who are you. Then once you've got it, where did you come from? Where did you go?
Then right.
Chaos, wouldn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah, okay.
And it don't matter if you don't get it, it's done, isn't it? And
you've got two theme tunes.
And it's for both dances. People can still have the theme tune, as you say.
Both
and it's a bit niche.
Dances.
It is. Yeah. And if you don't like it, piss off. Yeah. No, not really. Only joking.
There we go. Bit of in the moment food. Huge success. don't like the laughing emojis there, Steve. But I agree, it was a huge success.
All right, Jack, can you take over and see us through to the end, please, pal?
Yeah, what do you want to talk? Do you want to do any other business? Do you want to talk about the cup? Here we go. George's got a lot to get off his chest here. Right, okay, here we go. Do you want to play your theme music? Would you like the theme music before we go?
I mean, it's not any of the business stage, but I do like the music.
Okay, well, it's not music really, it's just there you go. So, all yours. There you go.
Well, Rick was so desperate to talk about Southampton and Leeds, wasn't he? Because he's been losing sleep over both of them.
I'm not losing sleep yet. I've got a horrible feeling that my comments about Russell Martin are going to come back to haunt me. You know, I'm famous last words on everything, aren't I?
You can't just delete your Twitter account like I've done.
I tried to tell you at the start of the season.
Yeah, but you're biased in the sense that
I couldn't care less.
Right, okay. All right. No, fair point then. You claimed he was a good manager, Jake. You claimed he was a good manager. But based on what?
Hold on, can I interject here because I've got a point to make on Daniel Farker and Russell Martin.
Go ahead.
Do you not think Jake is the person that Daniel Farker and Russell Martin then think they look like? The way
yes.
They yeah, yeah, I think
they. And he knows it, and that's why he thinks
they look like Jake Watson.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You've got this very wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't dispute, really, that they're not good managers. They are.
So, prior to this run that Martin's gone on, what had he ever achieved?
I mean, I think now, looking at the Swansea job itself, in the conditions that he had, I thought he did a very solid job.
And he did all right, yeah.
And I think
but the MK Dons, you said he did really well there. He didn't. There weren't a lot going on there, was there?
Well, again, if you look kind of beyond, and I know that it's difficult to do so sometimes in terms of league positions and points, but if you do look in terms of what he was trying to achieve, I think you could see, you know, and then with, you know, more... what's the word? Not assets, but do you know what I mean? Now he's got kind of more of Southampton. He's now able to kind of put into practice what he was kind of trying to do there. And he said, I've always seen something there. I thought that pre-Swansea...
What have you seen, Jake? Talk us through what you've seen.
He's a manager with a very, very clear identity of how he wants to play. As a player, he was a captain and a leader. I just always thought he'd be a manager. And I still think he'll end up as a Premier League manager.
Can you explain to me? Because this is what I don't probably get. Not. Like he was an absolute hacker as a centre half. Right? he was crap. He was crap.
But not a hacker.
He was 6'2" and just used to fucking edit.
No,
and all
really.
Of a sudden, and all of a sudden now he's like, it's like Robert Huth all of a sudden being like. Do you know what? This is the way to play the game. It doesn't make sense.
No, honestly, mate, you're wrong. Russell Martin was a ball playing defender. He wasn't. He wasn't a fit.
Well, that might have been why he was crap.
Well, okay. Never said you can question how good.
Maybe it was.
But he wasn't. He wasn't a physical defender. He wasn't. He wasn't anything like a Robert Huth. You know, he could play right back or centre half and was just kind of adequate at both. But he was kind of possession. Kind of back then as a player, he was never kind of your big physical centre half. He wasn't.
Either way,
yeah,
I'm going to have to concede that he's doing a good job there now. Or you know that, if Enzo's doing a good job with us, then Martin is doing a pretty good job with Southampton. I'll hold my hands up. Still don't rate him myself. Still, really, there's something about him that winds me right up. And I've got, and I hope I'm so right, that they've obviously got a very favourable run of games, and I've done now for, God knows, since I were about 13. Can't remember the last time they had a
rural season.
Yeah, they've literally just played
the same
like,
teams as us.
Well, yeah, no, but it just seems that every time you see who they're playing, you're like, hey. But their final seven games are horrendous.
Yeah.
And I can see, like, so when I've questioned what's he ever achieved, now I'm probably being a bit unfair because until you achieve something, you're on the cusp, but then it's difficult to prove. But I think they'll get to the point where they're second. They may even challenge us for the title. I think they'll get their noses into the automatics. And then when they hit those seven final games, they will collapse and they'll get done on the line by Leeds on the last game of the season at Elland Road, and I'm there for it. I'm not actually going, no, I won't be there. I won't do that. But
my mate, who's a Leeds fan, said he thinks they'll catch Southampton because they've got them on the last day of the season. And I was thinking, well, that's all well and good. But if Southampton are 4 points ahead of you, the season, then it don't matter, does it? So Rick, I've mentioned Leeds and Southampton. You went on a tirade of abuse towards.
Oh yeah. So I was more concerned about Leeds before, you know, when they beat us in November, and it was even before that because you know there was a quarter of the season gone or something. That's still a hell of a lot of games to go. There's still a lot of games now. 18. We could still, you know, if we nosedive, we won't finish in the top two. But if we maintain roughly what we've been doing or even drop off slightly, very difficult for one or both of those teams to catch us. I accept that. Still not out of the realms of possibility. We are a ridiculous club. You know, we've achieved things that didn't seem possible we you know, nobody would have given us any chance of getting out of relegation in 14-15. Nobody had us down to bottle top four, did they? And we did it two seasons on the spin. So, yeah, all I'm saying, you've got to be open to the concern. You've got a wavering belief that we will piss the league and it'll be done by March or April. I hope you're right, but I don't know. There's the possibility, but yeah, we've got four or five games now to go and win. Get back in the mixer.
I'm genuinely with you, Rick, because I think before, when it was kind of opening a gap, I wasn't really bothered by Ipswich as long as we were opening the gap on third. But the reality is it's now there's four teams and they're all pretty close. So it's gone from just making sure you're staying above one to now staying above three. And that group, they've got staying power, you know, they have. So we have to find a way of regaining the levels we had a month ago, or otherwise we are going to make this hard work. We can't just assume or presume that we're going to get promoted, because those three are pushing hard and you've got to respect them.
I've
said that all season.
The evidence suggests that we will be absolutely fine.
Does it? Rick's evidence.
We've won 21.
Can I just say, I really like it when Rick and George go at each other. I think
no, because the thing is, George's not being as bullish tonight, I've noticed. He's been very respectful. I don't know whether it's the curry he's had to eat with his hands, whether it's really leveled him. But he's definitely a bit of humility in the air tonight.
that's what I was going to say. Hooky Too Trappy. What a name that is. Let's just bounce three or four wins together and all will be...
But we can do that, but there's still going to be teams, you know, chasing us. You know, not just on us.
Put the pressure back on them, don't we?
Do you know what we don't like about football?
Everything.
It's crap. It's competitive. Like, other teams are trying to knock you down. Why can't we just win every week? It'd be way more fun.
I know. But I'm going to now contradict my concerns and... As long as we win the next three or four or five, we've only got 13 games left, and we'll be still seven or eight or more points ahead. That's a hell of a lot to catch up in that time.
If we'd have won the other night, we would have been 10 points clear with 18 games to go, and then it's like you need four games to overturn that. So we basically need to fuck four games up.
In those 21 games that it, or 20 games or whatever it is that Southampton have gone unbeaten, how many more points have they got than us over those 20 games?
Maybe a bit more now, maybe six now after the other night.
Over the last 10 games, they've got 1 point more than us. And in the last 10, we've just not won for two. So, I think whatever happens, we've got to nosedive considerably.
Yeah, we have.
Possible it could happen.
We've seen stranger things happen, haven't we?
Of course we have. I mean, but I quoted it earlier. Our record against the teams from 12th down to bottom, we've played 16, we've won 15 and drew one. That is astonishing.
We are like Virat Kohli on a flat deck in India. Get him over here and it's a little bit green and seeming round and we're not so good.
We're like me with Tangy Toms.
Yeah.
I will murder bags of Tangy Toms. I reckon I could eat 50 bags of Tangy Toms an hour,
When does eating Tangy Toms become difficult? What's like
your... It's just easy. It's air, isn't it? Brush them aside.
What's your kryptonite with Tangy Toms? What?
I don't get that metaphor at all.
Because it's easy.
That didn't make any sense, did it?
It's easy.
Yeah, but you need a contract.
Something exactly.
Because
you can't just say
because I don't know, a Chris Lock and McCoy's, a ridge got a bit of oomph. I ain't doing 50 bags of them, am I?
I mean, the comparator would be, it's like me eating crisps. Yeah. Give me a Tangy Tom and I can eat them all day. Give me a McCoy's and
you've just done it for me, thank you.
Well, okay. I still don't get it, but I know what the point you're making.
I'm making the point that we should have enough in the tank.
You like Tangy Toms. That's the point. Rick likes tiny toms. Right. Come on. Anyone else?
Well, someone's just asked about Ndidi being back in 2 weeks, but he was fairly adamant. I've seen the footage, so that's good.
Well, I mean,
Maresca, a hell of a jumper, wasn't he?
Maresca's downplayed that, saying that.
Of course he is.
Yeah, but, which
I think it helps if you say he's out for 3 months, therefore he's not going to AFCON. I think if he's might be fit for the semis, then they might.
Yeah,
I think we all said, didn't we, post that injury and him.
Well, you did. You did. Yeah. To give you credit, I didn't. I was like, no, fuck, season
over. He didn't fancy. He had an injury, obviously, but he was never that bad. And yeah, we miss him. We do need him back in the team.
I miss him every day, mate.
Yeah.
Jake's going to be fuming with me because I have three any other businesses.
Oh, mate. I mean, I can just watch this.
Do we want to mention Birmingham, the guy at the cup game? I mean, what's everyone's thoughts? Inconvenience.
Power mad. Yeah, just win it, Rick. And is there anyone specifically we'd like in the next round if we were to win? I would like Everton at home.
I don't even know who's in it.
If they beat Luton, they're at home to Luton. But that would be my...
I think a Premier League team would be a good test, wouldn't it? But I don't know when the fixture lands. When is it? I presume it's February.
Well, I think we'll lose on Saturday.
Mowbray's gone in there and won two and drew one, hasn't he, in his three games?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke to a Blues fan, as they refer to them as, on Tuesday, and he said, actually, they've not been very good. So he said, you'll beat us. But
I mean, I hope we put a similar team out to the Millwall one, personally.
Well, can't play Cassidy, can we? Who else do we play there?
Pratt.
Well, he's going, isn't he?
Hopefully. You'll hate this.
Go on.
The fifth round proper is Wednesday, the 28th of February. Another nail in the coffin for the FA Cup, a midweek round.
No, isn't the fifth round always in the midweek, though?
It wasn't before. It has been before.
Well, but didn't we play? We played Brighton in the fifth round, didn't we? When we won
that, wasn't that a replay?
No, it wasn't.
Or a rearrange, wasn't it? Okay. But no, then wasn't that was COVID?
I think it's always a midweek one. Fifth
round. It has been for a few years, but it never was originally, was it? And another bloody pet hate of that competition is
has Jake actually left it?
I think he's had enough.
He's had enough.
That's crap. Man.
I saw earlier the FA Cup tweeted that the ball numbers for the draw on Sunday, and I thought one, half the teams ain't through. And two, I don't want to know the number. That was after the fun of the draw before, was not knowing what number you were. Now it's bloody everywhere.
You got a point.
Test tonight, mate? Anything else?
Yeah, there was three things.
Right.
The first
so that wasn't one.
No. The first one, I've just been rumbled by my very first girlfriend, who I mentioned on the pod last week. Right. Now, I didn't know she listened to the podcast, but she loves me. Saying thanks for the shout out, and then she said, I was right, she wasn't a football fan when we were together, but now she is. And she just wondered what Leicester fans made of the game, and she was hooked by Rick's rant. So there you go, Rick.
She's Coventry fan, yeah, okay, just jotted that down.
Something that's been irking me for weeks, which I've mentioned, is...
Is this point two or are we still on one?
No, this is point two. This is point two.
I turn my camera off again.
The repowered kit that they've
Birda.
They've tried to claim that a Birda kit is, one, it's crap, but two, it's not retro. It's about 12 years old. I can't believe... I've still got that in the bottom of my drawer somewhere.
I saw someone buy that. Yeah, I saw someone wearing that to the game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, but probably an original because it's not old.
I've still got one. They were massive, those shirts. They were huge. Yeah. Like tents, they were.
The white one, long sleeved with Bamba on the back. and
I'd Michael Johnson 7 on the back of my mind.
Yeah. All of the printing, the birder, and even Bamba came off the back. It was crap. And I remember I was fuming. It cost me 70-odd quid. How we find ourselves in a situation where at a time when I was at university, they're now branding those shirts as vintage. Because that was the I bought that before the Real Madrid friendly.
Yeah, it was that season. And do you remember the first ever birder kit? So do you remember the Joma kit that was the 25th anniversary? It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But then I think Birder like bought Joma out of the contract and produced the exact same kit with a Birder logo on.
It was very confusing, wasn't it? Well, no. But you know how kits are made, George.
Yeah, but I mean, come on.
Well, they're all made in the same factory, and then they just put an Adidas or a Nike logo on. That was the biggest disappointment for me ever when I found that out.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, the Adidas has got a bit of style and finesse.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, I think I think the kits this year are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I like the peach one. I think it's very nice.
Yeah.
And my final point, which I only thought of yesterday, was I cannot believe that Sky had Troy Deeney on after he got sacked from Forest Green Rovers.
Troy Deeney and Neil Warnock.
Yeah.
Dad messaged me after the game going, oh, the Sky pundits have said this. And I said, I think the Sky pundits are idiots, not thinking who they were. And then I thought, oh, God, like I actually quite like Joby McEnough. I think he's a good pundit.
He's good.
And then I looked afterwards and I was like, well, that's Troy Deeney and Neil Warnock. So I stand by what I said.
Who I don't get is, like, after the week that he's had and the stuff that he said, why on earth would you employ him? And my other point about him is he hates Leicester. And I don't think it's...
And Warnock does as well. Hate Leicester. Warnock despises Leicester because he still hasn't got over the fact that he never got the job. Do you know this? Like, this is facts. Like, if you go and buy Neil Warnock's autobiography, I am mentioned in Neil Warnock's autobiography.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I went to Sports Personality of the Year with Dad, and Mandarich was talking to him about the Leicester job, and we spoke to Warnock about it. He was desperate for the job. He was like, oh, Milan's spoken to me about it, blah, blah, blah. And when I told him, I was like, Hume's good, the rest of them are crap, whatever. And he wrote that in his autobiography. It's in the second edition, not the first edition. But
That's amazing.
It's true, yeah.
That came back to haunt you when he missed that penalty against Sheffield Wednesday.
Who?
Hume.
Hume, yeah. I liked Hume. The rest of the team are just bang average.
That was going to be my point about Deeney. I mean, his career highlight was obviously the goal against us.
Yeah, again, he's bitter for not joining Leicester, isn't he?
He was bitter that we never signed him, 100%. Yeah. And he also claimed that he was better in the air than Harry Kane, who's the best number nine in the world. Absolutely deluded.
He's not.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, so they're my 3 points. Any other business right at the end?
Right, I've got
good,
four.
Any other business, that, Jude?
Go on, then. Jake.
I haven't got any. Absolutely nothing. I think that was quite abundantly clear to everyone. I've got nothing. I started with nothing and I'm ending with less. Has anybody else got anything?
No, but again, I enjoyed the live.
It's good. It's nice to have a bit of interaction. Nice to know where the listeners go when, you know, as we navigate through the features, you know, in the moment feedback for what works, what doesn't.
When we play.
Keeps us honest. Thanks for sticking with us.
Jack, can you see us out, please, mate?
Yeah. Does anyone want any more music? Here we go.
Yes, Vic.
What do you want?
The end music.
Celine Dion.
great tune.
Oh, well, Steve Boss has put an ice bath. Good lad.
Has anyone got any Manscaped bits yet, you buggers?
Yeah, they've actually not been in touch. I've not heard from them.
Go on, Dan.
I think I got one of the other lads the other week to buy some using our code.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. We needed to buy 8. We needed to sell 8. There you go. Love you too, Dan. There we go. This is actually getting very, very self-fulfilling because people are just writing nice things, but then someone's just written...
Yes.
Are we playing out on Leicester Fiesta or are we is it DJ's choice?
DJ's choice.
Right, here we go. Love you all. See you soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Social Podcast Network.